through the windshields and the muted light and the, you know, dispersed light of the city behind it. And it just kind of seemed like an image of life passing through me and by me and me moving through it.
And this is a work now for just two string players, right?
Yes, it's two violins. It's a duet for two violins. It was premiered. It was recorded by Parma with the Moravian
chamber players
and released before being ever premiered. And then it was premiered at the Parma Festival by two fantastic violinists there. And then another group has performed it several times, including on cable TV on Manhattan. Yeah. And and at the Hartford Women Composers Festival, it was also played. So it does seem to be resonating with a lot of people.
Very
I love
nice.
This piece. It's really
yeah, I do too. Let's listen
okay.
to it. Night's Dream by my guest, Rain Worthington.
Thank you.
Music by my guest, Rain Worthington. That was titled Night Stream. It was scored for two violins. And in our performance, you heard the Moravian Chamber Players. Now, Rain, on that CD, on the Navonal label of your chamber works, there's a work for string quartet. Is that right?
Right. And the CD is called Elements Rising. It has a number of chamber works for strings primarily. And the other piece I have on it is called Rhythm Modes. And it was one of the first pieces I wrote for string quartet.
Oh.
That was actually premiered by the Sirius String Quartet, who are a really interesting group. They've been around a while, and I think they're doing a lot of tango music now, which is kind of cool. So Sirius String Quartet premiered it in New York City, and it's a bit different from some other things I do, mm-hmm. because it's, as the title would suggest, it's rhythm modes, and it's a lot of rhythmic kind of motives that just kind of play with each other, kind of, you know, interlock, and it starts off with pizzicato strings and then ends with glissandos, and it has kind of a Mid-Eastern flavor too, as I think Night Stream does a bit too. So.
You know, I wanted to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
I think of things to ask while you're talking, and that's what just happened. We have your disc of orchestra, and you've just had a chamber work, a work for two violins. Is orchestra your favorite medium to work with?
Well, actually, for a long time, I was drawn more powerfully to orchestra. I just love the scope of what it can do. I just was drawn to it. But it's interesting because when I first started composing,
Right. Someone
gave me advice, and they said, if you want things performed,
I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
You should write for solo instruments and or duets or something. And what did I do with that advice? I turned around and started writing for orchestra. So
it was very good, Ray.
So because that's where I wanted to go at that time, and there was no way around it. Now it's interesting. I'm writing because I'm meeting some fantastic musicians, which I, as a composer, I can't even tell you how grateful I am mm-hmm. to musicians.
Sure.
I mean, without the skilled artistry of musicians, the music would never be out there. And the subtlety and the artistry they bring to what you've written on paper is just amazing. I'm in total awe of musicians, and I've been meeting some great musicians. I've been working with composing some pieces specifically for an Icelandic violinist named Eva Ingolf, and she's premiered at least three of my pieces. And some of the first piece I wrote was a short miniature for a violin for her call on the theme of Iceland, a land of mystery and trolls. So I composed a 1-minute piece for that, which is a little bit longer than 1 minute. But she's been great to work with. So I've composed some pieces specifically for her. Night Stream, as I mentioned, has been performed by a violin duet, Miolina, which is Lynn Bechtold and Takeda. And they have been performing that in New York quite a bit. Michael Brody has performed my music in India because he takes trips to India, and he's done a number of my pieces there, which I'm incredibly grateful for. And when I was doing the recording sessions, the last recording sessions in the Czech Republic and Olomouc in the Czech Republic, I met an incredible cellist named Carmine Miranda, and his sessions were starting as mine were ending, and he was doing cello concerti with the orchestra, and that CD is going to be mm-hmm. released on Navona. But I've since connected with him at the Parma Music Festival, and someone asked me for a piece for a solo cello, And I had never written a piece for solo cello. And so I went to Carmine and said, can you point me in some directions?
Yeah, help me.
Tell me what I should be.
Is this playable or is this?
Well, no. First, tell me what scores to study, what to look at.
Yeah.
And I had been listening to his recording of Piatti Caprices, which is a very difficult set of works for solo cello. Anyway, so he pointed me in some directions of scores to look at. And I wrote a piece, and I sent it back to him. I just wanted to know if it was playable. And he said, not only is it playable, but he wants to play it. So that's another project that's in the works right now. And I'm, like, so thrilled because he's just a world-class cellist. And
it's interesting music
backwards.
Has evolved. You didn't take the advice of writing for small groups, but now you're meeting people, but I guess it's having the inspiration to do what you feel is right for you.
Right, through these
contacts
and also meeting these incredible musicians and
sure.
having them in mind when I write something.
Well, this is great. Now, Rain, what I'd want to do, Mal, is go to a totally different area.
Okay.
In addition to all of your work as a composer, you are artistic administrator and composer advocate of New York Women Composers. Now, share with us a bit about this organization, how it began, and its function, first of all.
It's membership organization of women composers. It's been around for quite a while. It was founded by Elizabeth Bell and her husband, Robert Frew, and some other composers in 1984. So it's been in existence for a long time, and its mission is to encourage performances of music by women on concert programs and in recordings. It's not to the exclusion of men composers. It's a membership organization of women composers, but the point is there is still some discrepancy between how many works by women get performed and how many works by men get performed. There are lots of theories why this is, but, you know, I have my own theories, but I'm not going to really get into them right now. I mean, it's a very complex situation, and we live in an ever-changing musical environment that's changing at lightning speed. But the thing is, there are, in this day and age, when you look at member organizations like the American Composers Forum or something like that, there are probably 2/3 men, 1/3 women, or closer it's closer almost 50-50. But in terms of programming, it doesn't reflect the reality of the members' organizations in terms of, male and female composers. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
So what we're trying to do is get, what's the word, parity, in the concert programming and, to reflect what's really out there today. There are a lot of wonderful women composers, and there are a lot of wonderful men composers.
That's right.
And so we just want a balance in the programming to reflect what's out there.
Sure. Now, your work specifically, if you want to say a brief word about you as artistic administrator and composer advocate, what is it you specifically, if you'd like to just say one or two words?
Well, partly when I came on in, I think, 2006 or 2007, it was a job I could do from a distance, so I could do all the work online and communicate with members online and stuff. So because we don't have an office, we're a statewide organization, but it also, our membership extends to New Jersey, to Connecticut, to Pennsylvania, and as members move, they're eligible to, they're allowed to keep their membership active. So Chen Yi is in St. Louis, I think.
Yeah.
And she's still a member. Judith Lang Zaymont is still a member, even though she doesn't live in New York anymore.
She lives in Arizona, I think.
I think so now. So members, so we have members going all in different places in the country, as well as the larger metropolitan area around New York. And as composer advocate, one thing, I mean, as artistic administrator, the one thing I had in mind was to make the website as comprehensible as possible for people to discover women composers. And each member is able to have a page with sound samples, CDs, lists of works, bio photos, and score samples. Our website has, and this is really important, our website has a database of members' works that's searchable by instrumentation. We also have a seed money grant that goes out to presenters or soloists or ensembles to encourage inclusion of our members' works on programs, and it has specific guidelines. And if anyone wants to find out about the seed money grant, they should go to the New York Women Composers website, which is http://www.newyorkwomencomposers.org, and it's all written out, one word. And so contact us through the website, and I'll send you the guidelines.
Sounds good. And I mean, anybody who is interested in expanding themselves just on what is being written today by women composers or just composers, that you could literally spend hours and hours listening to samples
by our
living women composers on
right.
that. And you know, one other thing I want to throw out too before we go to another selection is I've been to performances by the organization. I've been there in New York and so on. And one thing I think which is very special is that all of you are there supporting each other.
Yes,
there
definitely.
Isn't like any of this, oh, my music has to be, why you should be doing more of my music. It's a unit, and
right.
I think that's so healthy and so special.
Yeah, I think we've really
become...
We're all for each other. Yeah,
you know?
I think we've become a really... strong community of women that realizes that anything we do for each other also helps ourselves, and that's why
right.
I'm a composer advocate. I mean, I'm very good at advocating for other people's works. I make introductions when I see an ensemble that seems interesting. I say, hey, do you know about the New York Women Composers? And so I'm like constantly reaching out to soloists and ensembles and presenting organizations to introduce them to the. And
go ahead. Sure.
Sorry about the seed money grant. I just want to make sure that people know this. The recipients of the seed money grant are the ones that select the music. We don't tell anybody what to play. They put out a call to the members for their particular instrumentation. They are the ones that select it. They are the ones that receive money from the putting on the concert, if they're charging admission or whatever. Our money is simply seed money to help make these concerts possible. And the recipients are the ones that put on the concerts. The organization does not actually put them on in the sense of producing them.
Yeah.
But well, it's a great group of people.
It's a good thing.
I mean,
it's a wonderful thing. Well, great, Rain. Thanks for sharing that, because I couldn't do a presentation with you joining me without discussing that wonderful organization. Now we're going to go back to your CD. We've left it for quite a while now. This is on the Navona Records CD. In fact, today we are celebrating the release of Rain Worthington's new CD titled Dream Vapors, Selected Works for Orchestra. Now we're going to go now to another one of the recent works, Reversing Mirrors in the Quiet. Now, how did that title come to that? Is another one of, I have to say, your titles are so descriptive.
This one's hard to actually talk about, but I think some of the title came from the feeling of kind of shifting planes of reality, and like when you're the image, because I often put images, I mean, have some kind of image comes to mind. And this one is like when you're looking at a window pane and you can see your reflection in it, but you can also look through it and you can see what's behind you, kind of. And it depending on your focus, you can shift the between mm-hmm. these right. kind of shifting realities.
I mean, this is
so it's like reversing mirrors.
Yeah, that's I like the title. I really do. Well, we're going to hear this composition now for small orchestra, music by my guest Rayne Worthington. We listen to Reversing Mirrors in the Quiet. Once again, the Moravian Philharmonic Orchestra is conducted by Peter Vronsky. Music by my guest, Rainn Worthington. You were just listening to Reversing Mirrors in the Quiet, a composition for small orchestra dating from 2012. In our performance, Petr Vronsky conducted the Moravian Philharmonic Orchestra. We are celebrating the release of Rainn Worthington's new CD titled Dream Vapors, selected works for orchestra on the Navona Records label.
And this is a
yes. Go ahead, Rainn. I was going to introduce you,
and this is a totally momentous thing for me to have a solo CD of my orchestra music, and it's been some years in the making and many recordings with Parma Recordings mostly, and it's just been
great.
How
was the experience doing these via Skype? You mentioned Skype before.
Mm-hmm. The first one I did with Parma Recordings was when they had a session with the Russian Philharmonic, and that was 2010, and I wasn't able to go to Russia for the recording, though I did look into it.
I'm sure you did.
I Skyped into the session, and the interesting thing about the way Parma works, which is really fantastic, is that at every phase of the recording process and the post-production, they bring the artist into it and encourage feedback, encourage dialogue. And so before the session happened in Russia, the conductor, Ovidiu Marinescu, who is also an incredible cellist, he was going to be the conductor. He went over the score with me by phone. He's based in the United States,
oh, okay.
So he was going over it with me in detail on the phone. Then we got to Russia. I mean, then they went to Russia and said that they would make Skype available. The interesting thing is, right before, like that morning, I got an email from them saying that the Russian government was not going to let the Skype happen. They just didn't trust it, and so the Parma team was working like crazy to get permission from the government to have the Skype open for me to be part of the session. And about 5 minutes before the session was going to start, I get an email saying, yes, we've got it, we've got the okay, sign into Skype. And so it was very exciting.
A pleasant surprise.
Oh, it was great. And so then that was when I first met Bob Lord through the computer screen. And his assistant was Renee Dupuy. And she was sitting with me in front of her computer. I was sitting in front of mine. And these sessions are three-hour sessions. So we were there the whole time doing the three-hour session. They would stop at different points, ask me how that sounded to me, and the orchestra was great, so it was sounding really nice, even over Skype. And they would try different takes, different ways. If I thought it needed more crescendo, they would try it a different way.
That's what I was going to ask you, how it worked
just,
with some of the more specifics.
Yeah,
score.
That's how it worked. If I thought the basses weren't loud, you know, like the brass section, low brass wasn't loud enough, I would say, can we try it again, you know.
Yeah, sounds.
At some point, you do have to let things just happen and let things go, because you are listening to it through Skype, and you also have to trust the people in the studio who are right there. So at some point,
and I know sometimes you could get, when you start getting listening to things too closely,
yes.
You can get so obsessed with it,
yes,
and you don't progress as well as you should with the overall.
Right, and so you get caught up.
I've been there.
Yeah,
I've
in the forest there. For the trees or whatever. You can't see the forest for the trees. And this is true with contemporary composers, too. They have to realize, I don't mean to preach, but I feel it's important to realize that when you let your music out, let it go out into the world, there are going to be a variety of types of performances of the same piece within a certain framework, but different musicians will bring different feelings
different
to
it.
We have four sets of the Bach cello suites that my husband Mark listens to just to compare them. And it's really interesting, you know, to see the different flavor of the pieces.
Right, right, right. Well, let's go just for a moment, a few minutes. Let's go to...
I won't talk too long.
No, that's okay. No, Rain, you're doing great. Let's just talk for just a few moments about contemporary music, 21st century music, because this is all 21st century music. And I guess the general acceptance of new music in 2016, in your opinion, has it improved over the years? And what can we do to do it, to improve it even more, the general acceptance of it? I mean, I still see many people who say, oh, new music, no way.
Oh, I think it's being accepted much more these days.
It's better than it used to be, no question about it.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many things contributing to that, from the fact that it's certain types of music have become part of this, part of the musical language of people, in the sense of whether it's Phil Glass on movie screens or in commercials to things like YouTube, where people are just discovering music all
the time.
And
that's a great source, no question.
Oh, it's an incredible source. And now I've just heard about, and before I go on to this next thing, but also musicians that are available. There are just so many ensembles and soloists out there working, and many, many, many of them are making it their mission to do contemporary music, partly because they have friends that are composers. So you have this whole community of musicians and composers that are supporting each other's work, and that's very vital. And then the another thing I was just came across was this thing called Group Muse.
I've heard a little bit about that, yeah.
I've seen some of the videos of the events that they put on, and it's just, it's incredible. I mean, they say that they have house concerts, because basically group muses are house concerts or loft concerts. This organization says that it has concerts going on every night in at least four major cities, New York, I think it's New York, D.C., possibly Boston, and I'm not sure where else. And they just had what was the biggest classical Kickstarter campaign ever in the history of Kickstarter, which is totally amazing. So they're going full speed ahead.
Yeah.
Bringing contemporary music.
Yeah, there's also so much out there, and I think the internet can be used, as we've mentioning already, alluding to, so many ways, whether it be to listen to music or whether it be to share music with each other. I mean, it's just amazing what
Marvin,
can happen.
Marvin, look at your show. I mean, this is incredible. You've been doing this for, like, what, 18 and a half years, and now... when you started, it was just local. Now it's worldwide. It can be accessed.
It's a weird feeling, Rain.
You know, online,
it's
everywhere.
It's almost 20 years since I'm doing this.
Yeah, but you've
me.
Been moving forward with the whole musical environment,
yeah,
because now
20 years.
You've gone global.
Well, I don't. You'd like to think so, and
yeah.
You know, and again, you know, I have to. True, but you know, you can't go global, you can't get your word out there, regardless of how good you do or how much people enjoy it when they're listening, if you don't have someone behind the scenes that's helping you out there, and that's my wife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she's on Facebook, she's posting, she's tweeting, she's all over the place.
Uh-huh.
I got to get home.
And she's recording it.
And she's doing all sorts of stuff, I mean, with her, the MP3 files.
Yeah.
And I mean, which are only available for the regular show, you know, for a short period of time. But she's out there, and regardless of how interesting of a product mm-hmm. you have out there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean anything unless people are aware of it, and you need that link to get it out there. And she is not only my wife, but that link out there, getting it out.
Right, right. She does a great job.
Yeah, she surely does. She surely does. Well, let's go on, Rain, now to Tracing a Dream. This is another recording from your new disc.
Mm-hmm. That was originally released on a compilation CD on Navona Records and is being re-released in this solo orchestral CD. And this is the track that they are featuring, that Parma is featuring on the for the Dream Vapor CD. And this is called Tracing a Dream. And this is the track that my first recording with Parma, which was done in 2010 in Moscow. And I was in there via Skype. The conductor is Ovidiu Marinescu, and it's the Russian Philharmonic Orchestra.
We listen to that right now. Music once again by my guest, Rain Worthington. You were just listening to Tracing a Dream by my guest, Rain Worthington. And Rain, in our performance, we heard members of the Russian Philharmonic Orchestra conducted by
Ovidiu Marinescu.
I could have done it also, but you say it so nicely. I mean, and you have such a nice
who is a
rhyme
wonderful
to
cellist
it, rhythm
too.
To it, you know. Well, Rain, I want to thank you so much for coming. Share with us just a moment about things you enjoy doing outside of music. Take 1 minute before, because we have to kind of wrap it up.
We moved upstate from New York City into a rural area outside Albany. And one of the things I discovered is I love gardening.
Ah.
And I love mowing the lawn. We have 3 acres of
that'll do it for
like
you.
Land.
That'll
and,
do it for you. So you're out in the real
Yeah, I'm
country.
Out outside a lot. And we have deer and foxes and wild turkeys coming through our land all the time. And it's something I never tire of.
Wonderful. That is wonderful.
And kayaking recently I've started enjoying, too.
That's great. Quite a little bit different than city life, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
To say the least, right? Well, Rain, I want to thank you all. Thank you so much for coming today. We featured your new CD, Dream Vapors. We didn't hear everything on it. And for listeners who are interested, they'll have to get hold of the CD.
And the artist proceeds go to Alzheimer's Foundation, a research foundation. So that's really important. Your purchases will go to a good cause.
That's very, very important. Well, Rain, I want to thank you again so much. I just want to also remind our listeners that the MP3 audio sound files for today's program will be posted on my website by this evening. My website address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. We are going to sign off with one more selection from this CD we listened to, Of Time Remembered. The Moravian Philharmonic Orchestra is conducted by Peter Vronsky, and if any of you are interested in purchasing this compact disc, there will be a link on the playlist for today's show on my website as to where you can purchase it. Again, my website address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will be back Saturday morning at 5:30 for Treasures of Early Music. We go now to Of Time Remembered by Rain Worthington. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.